because she was in Jacksonville at the time, and I wanted to say goodbye. And I wanted her to know that somebody came, went to the trouble of traveling just to say goodbye to her. And it was, you know, poignant, and they had the Krishna Club meeting, and the students were there, and I did a little glorification of her so the other students who weren't aware of how devotees relate to each other could see how devotees try to appreciate each other. And the next day there was, actually the Krishna Club meeting was on Thursday, and the night before was a bhakti riksha at Amrita Kale Devidasi's house. And so it was quite a whirlwind week. And then Friday, what did we do Friday? Nothing, we rested, kind of, sort of. And then Saturday was the 12-hour kirtan at Krishna House, and we had invited two students from Jacksonville to spend the night at our place. And one of them wound up spending the night. Next day he was sick, we were nursing him. And then I got the crazy idea that I wanted to make some fancy cookies for the Radharani Club bake sale. And I decided to do this 2 hours before the festivities started, and of course it took 4 hours to make the cookies. And one of the girls came and helped me, and the boy, as we were getting busy and rolling out dough and this and that, he said, "Would you like me to read to you?" I didn't ask him to read to me, and I said yes, thinking, well, what's he going to read? I didn't know what he was going to read. And he starts reading from Krishna book to us. And what was the chapter name? Krishna's Daily Activities. So he's reading along, we're correcting his Sanskrit, and it was a very jolly time. And in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, who told him to do that? Who told him to read to us? So while I'm busy kind of freaking out trying to get cookies made on time. And I can only think it was Prabhupada, because he's always saying, read my books. And I tried to encourage them, but I mean, I didn't say anything. So in that way, these two young devotees who are, you know, they don't have the option right now of just moving into the temple. They're completely in university mode. They're completely absorbed in that. They don't really read much. They don't really chant much. But somehow or other, they got inspired. You know, this one devotee got inspired. Let me read to you. And he did, and it was wonderful. And it really just raised the vibration. So I often think of how Prabhupada said, you know, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came to him through his followers. And in the same way, I mean, these are not my followers, but I feel like Prabhupada came to me through this boy and through this girl. And I also feel like sometimes, you know, so many times we're into self-improvement and we want to be together people, you know, and we want to look together for the non-devotee public so that we don't look like a bunch of loser, you know, religious fanatics. But I'm here to tell you that I've gotten more results being a loser when preaching than being together, because what happens is when people see you struggling, as long as they want to help, you know, I'm not saying we should cultivate being, you know, screw-ups, but the point is don't wait till you're together, you know, just do something. And I mean, I've had breakdowns and, you know, immediately somebody gets up and starts washing pots and somebody else, you know, and they're just happy to do it. And they still listen when you preach the absolute truth. It's not like you lose your credibility. So, you know, I just feel like, you know, as Kalyapani Prabhu was saying, when we extend ourselves for good or ill, you know, I mean, we try not to do ill, but no matter what we do, if we're sincerely trying to do what Prabhupada asks, he will reciprocate with us through these people. And I also wanted to say, I think it was Vishakha Mataji who was talking about loyalty. I feel like my real, and others have said this too, my real association with Prabhupada is through his followers. When I first came to Prabhupada, came to Krishna consciousness, and I'm fond of saying this, I thought I was really something. I thought I was really smart. And I was. I had a super high reading level and everything, but I could not understand Prabhupada's books. They were just like right over my head. And it was like being a hungry person with a banquet in front of you, but there was no salt. You know, and the salt, that's not the fault of the banquet. The salt is something in me that wouldn't allow me to taste it, that wouldn't allow me to absorb it. And the salt that I needed to be able to taste what Srila Prabhupada was offering were his followers. So I just feel like, you know, all of these people, with a few exceptions, were, compared to where I'm at now, extremely limited in their understanding, but they gave me what they could. And I just wanted to mention a few names, because Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. And so, conversely, if we don't love his dogs, we don't love Prabhupada. And we don't get to choose who we think his dogs are, right? He chose them, and maybe they're not all the nicest doggies. We don't have to associate with all of them, but we should love them all. We should love them all, and that means appreciating what they've done. So my first, and I'm not going to call these people doggies, but I'm just saying, that's the principle, that's the mood. So the first person that I owe great debt to is my initiating spiritual master, Srila Satsvarup Das Goswami, who wrote the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, because I never, ever would have gotten what Srila Prabhupada was about without that book. Second person, His Holiness Jayadwaita Maharaj, because he's dedicated his life to making sure that the books go out and that they're there for all the Sankirtan warriors to distribute. To Yamuna Devi, who made me understand that I don't have to be born, I don't have to take birth again as an Indian Mataji to be able to cook nicely. To all the bhaktins and bhaktas who explain Krishna consciousness, however imperfectly and incompletely. To Her Grace Jadarani Devi Dasi, who was the first devotee I ever argued with about what the absolute truth was. She finally gave up arguing with me because I don't shut up. And she said, do you like Indian food? Yes, I like Indian food. You should come to our temple then. And it was all over. To His Grace Kalakanta Prabhu and his deputies, namely Amrita Kelly, Devi Dasi, and Lovelace Chavla, who are, you know, keeping things going up in Jacksonville. To Bhaktin Lael and Bhaktin Amy, who, those are not their initiated names, but they're no longer practicing Krishna consciousness. And they taught me 85% of anything that I would need to know about Krishna consciousness. And it's not a lot. You don't need to know a lot to become Krishna consciousness. It's just, there's basic things, and then it just, everything is just piling on the nectar from there. And any devotee who ever chastised me for making me realize that I wanted Krishna more than that I wanted to be thought nicely of, and for any devotee who's ever argued with me on Facebook for helping me to hone my understanding of what Srila Prabhupada wants, and to sometimes realize that I don't know everything, and sometimes to realize, yeah, I do know what I know. It's not the most profitable use of one's time. I enjoy, it's much more profitable to be out preaching to students face to face, and those are the people that I most appreciate, because as I said before, it's Srila Prabhupada speaking through them and making me aware of him at every moment. And it's just the most amazing thing in the world to be with them. And of course, all of you, any temple president, anywhere. and just thank you so much, and thank you to Srila Prabhupada for sending all these wonderful people to me and to my husband and to all of us to just help us remember you at every moment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
To the younger Prabhu, and then Gopeshwari Devi Dasi. Haribo Prabhus, please accept my obeisances. Glory to Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, please forgive me for my offenses, and they are many. But somehow or other, you've let me engage in my service all these years. And I was thinking last night about, this was back in 74, when our temple president was a friend of mine, and he was a nice devotee, but he had some trouble with his japa in the morning. And he would choose to take the maha from Mangal Arati and go in his office and eat maha. And he would say, you want to eat some maha? And he'd say, yeah, sure, but I got to chant my rounds. You know, so he'd say, yeah, me too. So he'd eat maha and go to sleep, and he wouldn't chant his rounds, so it got around, and everybody was talking about it. Anyway, Prabhupada was coming, and the devotees had this idea that they'll make an arrangement to change the temple president, because obviously he's not very advanced, or he's whatever, he's having some trouble. So Satsarup came, he was the GBC at the time, and they made this arrangement. They brought another devotee who I knew also. I knew both of these devotees. One of them was eating maha during japa. The other devotee was doing all kinds of other things too. But so they brought him in and they said, Srila Prabhupada, we have to have a new temple president. And Prabhupada was, why? What's the problem? And the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, he's not chanting his rounds. And Satsarup said, Prabhupada, he admitted that he doesn't chant his rounds. And Prabhupada stopped him and said, just see, he is honest. And when we heard that, when I heard that at that time, it really hit me. I was like, wow, maybe it's not just him. Maybe there's others. And Prabhupada did not want to change the temple president. This devotee had been there for years, and he had done a lot of service, and he had gotten a wonderful temple in Detroit. But the mood, Prabhupada's mood was, just see, he is honest. And I immediately thought, oh man, you know, maybe I'm not honest. And we should rededicate ourselves, and we should, because I really loved that devotee, and he didn't leave. In fact, when they put in the other president, it didn't last very long, and there was other troubles, and there's always troubles. But the programs that we were doing all went on. The book distribution went on, the puja, the seva puja to the deities went on, the Sunday feast, the prasadam, everything went on nicely. Because the devotees were all, Prabhupada said you have to be serious and you have to be sincere. And if we're serious and sincere, then we're involved in spiritual life. And spiritual life doesn't mean how you dress or what time of the day you get up or how much tilak you put on or beads. Spiritual life means that you choose Krishna over sense gratification. That's pretty much the layman's way to look at spiritual life. Because I meet a lot of people on Sankirtan, and they all tell me they believe in God. You line up 10 Americans and ask them, you believe in God? Yes. Would you rather go to hell or heaven? They all rather go to heaven. But if you line up those same 10 and say, would you rather go to church or would you rather go to the football game today? You'll find that the majority of those Christians would rather go to the football game. Why? Because their choice is sense gratification. In fact, most of the people I know that go to church, I was raised Catholic, and there was this thing called confession. And after you'd party all week, you go into the priest for 5 minutes and you admit that you did it, and he says, all right, say a few Hail Marys, Our Fathers. It was like a business thing. Prabhupada explained it many times. Most people want sense gratification. They don't even believe that there's a thing called spiritual sense gratification. But the soul is going around inside this body and he's trying to get spiritual sense gratification, but he can't. And with kama, krodha, all these things that we're dealing with, we can't satisfy those things. And we always, as a result, we're always unhappy. We're always insecure. And people don't really, most people that I talk to have completely given up on their spiritual life. They don't really have a spiritual life. They mostly have their work. People get a job, they work, they eat, they sleep, they mate. That's all they do. And they do it in different ways and in different colors and flavors, but it's all the same mundane things over and over again. And inside, the soul's starving. I met this lady yesterday in Sangerton. She was an old woman, white hair. She said she was 78. Sitting in the back seat of her car waiting on her party to come out of whatever store I was in front of. And I handed her Perfection of Yoga, and she grabbed the book and said, oh, Hare Krishna, which is usually not the reaction I get when I hand somebody a book. And she turned over the book and said, and that's Prabhupada. I said, how'd you know that? And she said, oh, I've been around a lot of places. She said, I'm a member of the Church of the Universal something. And she said, I have great respect for what the Hare Krishna people do, because whenever we see them, they're proselytizing. That's all we do. We give out books, we chant and dance, we give up a shot, and we give people cards and say, come over and eat. And she said, God bless you for doing this, and she gave a donation. And of course, I gave her some more books, and she was so happy to get them. She took a bunch of books. And it was just a woman sitting in her car. And I was thinking, if I didn't walk up to her and take the initiative to say, hey, and hand her the book, it would have never happened. Made my day, because many, many people, I met another lady just right after that. She was happened to be from Iraq. And she gave a donation. I gave her the book, and she said, you know, I'm a Muslim. And I said, I'm a Catholic. I said, this is about yoga. This has nothing to do with religion. This is a book about yoga. And it doesn't have anything to do with it. Religion is something that we do. Krishna says, sarva dharma and pritchati, give up these things. This dharma, artha, kama, moksha, this is material. So when you make that step from so-called religion or so-called whatever you're doing, it's mostly just sense gratification, and you make that step into spiritual, that means that you've made a decision that rather than go the same way you've been going and the way everybody else is going, you're going to go the other way. And you're going to take that leap of faith and see what happens. Most people don't want to do it because they're afraid. I think the main thing is fear. When I meet people, I met another lady yesterday in the same situation. She was sitting in her car. When I handed her the book, she said, I'm a Baptist. I can't take this. And she gave the book back. And I told her, I said, well, we're doing charity work. Would you like to donate something to help? Jesus says you're supposed to help the poor. She gave me $20. And I wanted so bad for that woman to want the book, but there was nothing I could do about it. So what can I say? She was eating a lollipop, so she had to shot him. She gave a little sacrifice, and that was... But I was walking away from her thinking, you know, here's a Muslim, and here's this universal lady who loves Krishna, and then here's this Baptist woman who just for some reason, for some curse, some ill fortune, manda sumanda matayo, were so unfortunate. But just because of their so-called religion, Krishna comes to them. That was just me, but still, I'm the representative of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So I show up and hand her the book, and she has the choice. And then she makes the choice to stay with whatever her choice is. But at least she gave $20, and the next 40 books that I gave out, the next 40 little books I gave out were paid for by her, and she gets that benefit, that if you have the Sukriti, just for doing that, and she doesn't even know about that. So I was thinking that whenever devotees, whatever a devotee does, it's auspicious. People come and they yell at me sometimes. They say, what are you doing here? We told you you're not supposed to do this here. Get out of here. Go away. We're going to call the police. And I'm thinking, you know, even there, what can I say? You know, I'm out here with Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of God. It's here. Nithai Gaura, Prabhupada, the entire parampara is out here with me. And anybody that gets a book, even they don't read it, even if they just touch the book, Prabhupada said they get benefit. So, like I said, it's another year of book distribution for me, somehow or other, Krishna's mercy. And I pray every single day that I can go out and distribute books and not be kicked off the party. I've been working on my life for all these years, and sometimes I feel exactly the same as the first day I joined. It's like the famous King Yayati. He gave up his sadhana, and he partied for 1,000 years. And there's a verse there where he says, I've been doing this for 1,000 years, and yet every day my desire to enjoy it increases. So you look at that verse and think, oh man, it's hopeless. Imagine you're partying for 1,000 years. I mean, I've been bogatyagi my whole life. You know, you go out for a weekend and party hard. You know, Monday's like, I don't ever want to do that again. But this King Yayati is like, every day I wake up, I just want to do it again. So what's the hope? Without this pure devotee's benefit, he comes and he makes all the arrangements for us. We don't have any qualification. We don't have anything. All we have is we have a human birth. And if we waste it, then you're lost. You got to take another birth again, down in 8,400,000 different births. But because Srila Prabhupada intervened in our lives, he's come and he's taken away the obstacles. All we have to do is be sincere and serious, and this spiritual life will develop within each and every one of us. So thank you very much, Prabhus. Hare Krishna.
So, Gopishwari and then Maitreya Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnavakya namo namaha. So I wanted to share a brief excerpt of a very sweet book that I've been reading. It was written by Vaikunthanath Das, who Toshan spoke about before, the husband of Sharadiya Devi Dasi. I knew them in New York. And it's called Srila Prabhupada's Miracle, the transformation of matter into spirit. In the presence of Prabhupada, one could have no anxieties, for anxieties evaporated as one entered his room. As one arose from their bow, lifting their head from the floor, a wave of joy overcame them. Prabhupada's huge smile, arising from his complete realization of his spiritual nature, greeted them. For what reason are we anxious? Because we have forgotten that we are spirit souls. Srila Prabhupada had fully realized his eternal soul and his eternal relationship of love with Sri Krishna, and thus Srila Prabhupada was joyful with no limits or restraints. One may have entered the room carrying the normal bundle of cares and worries that generally sit at the back of one's mind, but upon lifting one's head from the floor and feeling the wave of Prabhupada's joyful and divine presence, one's heart simply melted and all anxiety was gone. Prabhupada was in a fully liberated state. Prabhupada's state of consciousness was entirely different from that of ordinary humans. He was floating in fully conscious spiritual bliss. This trance was not at all broken by activity, as would happen to a meditating yogi. The yogi must remain motionless in a meditative posture in his cave or ashram, but Prabhupada's samadhi was fully manifest in all his actions. All his motions and activities were done as pure devotional service for Sri Krishna. In the samadhi of divine love, he saw Krishna and Krishna's purpose in everything. Prabhupada might do something as simple as lifting an arm, an item from the table, or just scratching his head. In even the smallest of movements, one saw that Prabhupada was fully liberated, spontaneous, and free. He was situated in a state of transcendental bliss. He was beyond the limitations of lamentation. His mind was not forced into the restrictions of mundane time that arise for one who hankers and laments. Prabhupada was fully in the present moment and performed every action, big or small, fully conscious and attentive and with immense gracefulness. No mundane hankering or lamentation could touch him nor pull him from this presence, for he was in the direct company of Sri Krishna. After bowing down in obeisance upon entering Prabhupada's room, the student would then sit cross-legged on the floor before Prabhupada and observe, through one's just opened consciousness, the field of energy, the aura of love, and the divine presence that reached out from Prabhupada to all corners of the room. The room itself had, in truth, been transformed into the spiritual realm. Prabhupada's miracle was that matter transformed into spiritual energy in his presence. Gross, inert matter was transformed into Chintamani, spiritual substance. Within those four walls, a small corner of the mundane world had melted, and the divine Vaikuntha realm had incarnated. For sitting in that room was a divine being of such incredible purity and love that Vaikuntha simply flowed through him into the room. Everyone in the room felt it fully, and everyone in the room was transformed. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
One short announcement, because time is it's becoming shorter. This evening, the offerings to Srila Prabhupada will continue after the Artik at 7:20, 7:15, and to be led by Radha Damodar, who will MC by him. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I did not get Srila Prabhupada's Bapu, but I don't feel any loss for that. I didn't have any moment of epiphany by seeing him personally or seeing a picture of him or anything like that. But I did get a book, and that was given to me by Bhutadi. I was staying in the temple in Guyana. I stayed there for 2 weeks because that was all I was allowed to stay in the country. And in Georgetown, tourists were being held up at gunpoint. So I knew about Hare Krishna, so I was staying in the temple. He gave me a book. It was the second canto. I remember a chocolate brown cover. And I read that book, and that was it, basically. I liked what I read, and I went with the devotees to New York. They took me to New York, and I stayed in 55th Street in the 12-story temple there. And that's more or less, well, that's where I shaved up. But in that temple, there were so many devotees, up to 200 sometimes, honoring prasadams together. Sarirarvijaja. It was quite wondrous. And but there were all grades of devotees living in the temple there. If you just went up and down in the lift a couple of times, you'd realize that there was a great variety of devotees. And it, some ways, it didn't seem like the spiritual world that you could have such a variance of devotees practicing together. But a test came for me, because that was a 12-story building. And at that time, you had to surrender. I mean, there wasn't the freedom that we perhaps are experiencing now, whether it's genuine or not. That's for the individual to decide. But in those days, even if you left the temple for a few days, you went home to mother, that was considered to be Maya. That was heavy Maya. Even if you weren't accountable for half a day, everybody knew you were in Maya. You were sleeping somewhere. You were not thinking of Krishna. I mean, those are the kind of standards that were at that time. So that was a 12-story building in the middle of New York, 55th Street, just a couple of blocks from Fifth Avenue. And so I very soon had a problem. I was thinking, well, does this mean I have to stay in this building for the rest of my life? And I'm only allowed to go outside when I'm asked to. And that was a real problem, as you can imagine. Because it was so strict in those days. But actually, so one day, one evening, it became intolerable. I had to get out of the temple. So it was still light in the afternoon. So I started to walk up Fifth Avenue. And you know, Fifth Avenue is very long. It was daylight when I started walking. By the time I stopped, it was dark. All the shop lights were on. And my problem was this is, I've got to live in this building for the rest of my life. So then the thought came into my mind, well, I've got to do this for Srila Prabhupada. Now, how this dedication came, it's a miracle that we get this causeless mercy. So I went back to the temple. I never had any problem after that. I lived in the temple there for 2 years until it was sold. So I am convinced about the power of Srila Prabhupada's Vani. And I know that if any way that the potency of his Vani is undermined by thinking that certain things were possible when Srila Prabhupada was here, but now they're not possible. That kind of thinking is very, of course, it's very catastrophic, disastrous for the devotee who thinks like that. But it's very easy to fall into that trap of thinking like that. We can't do like we did before because Srila Prabhupada was here then, and now he's not here. So if one thing I have learned, I didn't have the Vapu, but I had the Vani, and I have learned the importance of the Vani. I can say that
And I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Hare Krishna? Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I'd like to share something today that I came across. It's a newspaper article that was, and I'm not sure if anybody else has read it before or shared it before. But the mood I've been listening to over the internet this morning with all the devotees here is that how Srila Prabhupada has changed the world. And how each and every one of us, it's our mission to help him carry this on. Now, this was written by a person named Brendan O'Connor. It's from the independent.ie. I believe it's Scottish. Has anyone read this article? Yes? Okay, great. Because I'm not really sure how I came across it, you know, on the internet and everything. But the title is, We Are All Hare Krishnas Now. And this person, I don't know if he's a devotee or not, but it just was so enlivening to me to read this article. It's a little mundane, so you have to bear with me a little bit. But if Srila Prabhupada read this article, and I'm sure he has, just like in the old days, if he ever read an article, he would say, how many times has Krishna said, this is good? Anytime Krishna was written, he said, this is good. No, good or bad, when Krishna's name is there, it's good. So we are all Hare Krishnas now. Gradually, they're coming out of the woodwork. And suddenly it seems that half the people I know are secretly meditating. They range from casual transcendental meditations to practically full-blown Buddhists or Hare Krishnas. And the strange thing is that these are not hippies or crusties or dropouts or people living in alternative lifestyles or an ashram-inspired commune. Just regular blokes, a few of them quite senior in what they do. I'm sorry, sincere in what they do. They are trusting business types and entrepreneurs and generally serious people. These are not people who go for Reiki or acupuncture or any other unusual trappings of the I'm not religious, but I am a very spiritual person lifestyle. They are fairly practical people, and meditation is just one of their tools of technology for modern living. I have a theory or one that does bind them together. They are fathers of young children, and I have a theory that fathers of young children will do anything for a few minutes of peace and quiet. For some of it, it's the warm embrace of the Sunday newspaper enveloping you, and for others, it is a run. For some, it's sitting in a shed tinkering with something, but seemingly for more and more guys, it's meditation. And you can see why, because it's not really acceptable in these days of super dadism to blithely announce that you're heading out for a game of golf. If you're not working, you're supposed to be ministering to your kids or smothering them, as said children probably experienced it. But heading off to meditate is completely acceptable because it's like maintenance. It's like pulling into the garage to fill your tank. It's like eating almost. Eating soup for the soul. It has to be done, and you can hint darkly that it is to everyone's benefit that you get to do your daily meditation or sitting and doing nothing, and it's also known. Sitting down to empty the mind may have been construed in the past of having a little rest, but not anymore. This is because we live in an age of mindfulness, when it is recognized as everyone's God-given right in the first world to tune in, turn on, and drop out for a while, or sit there breathing, as you might call it. I was reading somewhere recently that while we might think Hare Krishnas as a marginal cult, their influence in the world is now enormous. The view seems to be that while religion has not succeeded in the mainstream as such, the ideas, their ideas have. Everywhere you look, there's watered-down Hare Krishnaism, from the kinds of food we eat to the notion of sustainable community-based living to the whole mindfulness thing. It seems we are all a bit Hare Krishnas now. Do you practice yoga? Are you a vegetarian? Do you believe in karma? Do you believe in positive vibes through social media? Then, my friend, you might just be a little Krishna conscious. Even the Hare Krishnas themselves are living regular lives these days. After the usual sex scandals and now that plague most cults and religious, many modern Hare Krishnas live what they call householder lives, meaning they don't chant in airports anymore, instead leading lives of devotion and spirituality while holding down jobs, wearing regular clothes, and raising children. I'm staying with the whole meditation idea as a way of dealing with stress and getting a bit of guaranteed sit-down time, but it kind of bothers me that it would be equivalent of someone who doesn't believe in God praying to him just for a bit of quiet time or going to mass to break from all the noise. Is it really right? Is it okay that we take the trappings of spiritual techniques just to use them as accountments of the modern world, or is it actually no harm to use the ancient techniques purifying as technology without buying into the whole thing? Or worse, do the Hare Krishnas know something we don't? Do they know that the more people they can get to chant or meditate or not eat meat, or to do yoga, even if those people just do it for well-being and buns of steel, the more people they bring, the more the people they bring a little closer to Krishna. Will we all end up wearing saffron robes someday? And that was the end of the... I'm sorry, I had to handwrite it because okay, it's time for Push Panjali. Yeah, I'll go to Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, so we'll start the Pushpanjali now. Please repeat. Om Ajnana Kimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadabmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Gura Priyuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshutarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojwala Premadya Virupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Srimurtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Aposiddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambha Prasambhode Padambhujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachirananda Namine Gaurashakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhumestam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Namo Maha Padanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrushe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Suratau Pangor Mama Mandamater Goti Matsarvasva Padambojao Radha Madana Mohana Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasana Stau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Krishtalibi Sevyamana Smarami Sriman Rasa Prasarambhi Vangshivata Patastita Karshan Venu Swanar Gopir Gopinata Shriestuna Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Devasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Spanjali Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Pushpanjali Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Pushpanjali Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada. Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Sri Guru Charana Padama Kevala Bhakti Sadama. Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadama. Bandamui Savodana Mate. Vandamui Savadana Mate. Yahara Prasade Bhai Eva Vatariya Prasade Bhai Eva Vatariya Krishna Prati Hodaha Hote. Yeah. Krishna prati ada hote. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Sita Te Kori Akya. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Sita Te Kori Akya. Arana kori ho mane asha. Arana kori ho mane asha. Guru Charane Ruti Ese Uttama Bhuti Sri Guru Charane Ruti Ese Uttama Bhuti E prasade pure sarva asha. E prasade pure sarva asha. Kurana diloye janme janme prabhute Kurana diloye janme janme prabhute Divya gyana rite prakashita Divya gyana rite prakashita Prema bhakti jahite abhirya vinasa jate Prema bhakti jahite abhirya vinasa jate Vere gaja rucharita Vere gaja rucharita Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adhama Janara Bandhu Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adhama Janara Bandhu Lokana Tukheru Divana Lokana Tukheru Divana Aha Prabhu Kora Daya Deho More Bhara Chaya Aha Prabhu Kora Daya Deho More Bhara Chaya Ebe Jashu Gushu Tribu Bhana Sila Prabhu Pato Jita Pavana Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna.